The Cartober fundraising drive is on. Help give back this month by donating your used car, truck, RV, or boat to KPBS. Donating is easy and it's tax deductible. Learn more by visiting us at kpbs.org/car.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Wednesday, October 29th. The San Diego City Council votes to increase water and sewer rates. More on that next, but first, the headlines. San Diego County officials announced that due to the ongoing federal government shutdown, San Diegans who receive CalFresh benefits will see a delay in their November benefits. This will happen even if a deal is struck in Washington this week. It will impact more than 395,000 San Diegans. As a result of this, local nonprofits and food banks expect to shoulder much of the burden. Information on local food resources can be accessed through the 211 San Diego webpage or by calling 211 San Diego. In more shutdown-related news, San Diego Fleet Week is ready to officially set sail next week. But citing the ongoing government shutdown, the San Diego Fleet Week Foundation just announced the cancellation of several key events. The event scheduled for Monday at Broadway Pier has already been canceled. The cancellation comes after the Marines, Navy, and Coast Guard advised that due to the shutdown, the armed forces would not be able to provide the equipment and ship necessary to support the event. Other canceled events include Student STEM Days, a community breakfast aboard the USS Midway Museum, and the Veterans and Military Boat Parade. There are still multiple events being held, which we'll tell you about at the end of the week. And now, on to some SDSU sports news. First up is SDSU's football team, which is now bowl eligible for the first time since 2022. This comes after the team's third shutout of the season. It's the first time in its Division I history that the team has shut out three teams in the same year. And as we transition over to Aztec baseball, a familiar face has returned. Former 2019 World Series MVP Steven Strasburg is returning to SDSU as the special assistant to the team's head coach. Announced Monday, Strasburg will lend his support to all aspects of the baseball program, including fundraising, special events, and alumni and donor relations, while also offering assistance in pitching development. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Figuring out the right sport for your kid can feel overwhelming. I'm taking that journey with my son, Dorian, exploring different sports and revisiting the fields that I grew up playing. Together, we're searching for the right fit and maybe reconnecting with a few old memories along the way. It's Game Time Decision, a new series from KPBS. Join us at kpbs.org/gametime.
The San Diego City Council yesterday approved a series of increases to water and sewer rates. Metro reporter Andrew Bowen says the rate hikes were scaled back due to affordability concerns.
San Diego has made big investments in water quality and reliability in recent years, but rising energy and labor costs have made that infrastructure much more expensive. The city's public utilities department had proposed 4 years of water rate increases, totaling almost 63%. Instead, the council approved 2 years of rate hikes. Councilmember Stephen Whitburn said no rate hikes at all would be catastrophic.
And if we default on the city's debt, it would be awful for San Diego's reputation. It would drive up the cost of borrowing money, and it would result in even higher water rates in the future.
It's unclear whether the city's water costs will stabilize by 2028. In the long term, climate change will likely make water more scarce and more expensive. Andrew Bowen, KPBS News.
It's been 3 months since the city of San Diego started clearing homeless encampments near downtown freeways. An agreement with the Caltrans allows city crews to go onto state property. As of this week, the city says crews have cleaned up 184 encampments, and outreach workers have connected 43 people to shelter and 37 people to other services. San Diego Mayor Todd Gloria says city staff are able to make frequent offers of help.
For those who say no, we're right back the next day to repeat that conversation again. Over time, what you find is that people either accept the services or they move on. Either way, the encampment is addressed and we get the result that we want, which is to reduce the unsafe camping situations along our high-speed freeways.
San Diego's agreement with Caltrans lasts for 1 year. Embattled Poway Council member Tony Blaine was charged on Friday by the DA's office with 4 felonies and a misdemeanor. He is currently deployed in the Balkans. North County reporter Alexander Wen looks into what happens when deployed service members are charged in civilian court.
The charges council member Tony Blaine is facing include perjury, bribery, and destruction of public papers, all felonies. He is also facing a recall effort. Steph Krall is a former attorney with the Judge Advocate General Corps. She says the military has a system called flagging that will restrict the movement of deployed service members who are facing charges.
Generally, service members who are deployed who are facing charges in the civilian system will be returned from the deployed environment to appear at whatever court proceedings that they need to appear for in the civilian system.
She says it's highly likely that he is in the process of being returned to the U.S. Blaine is expected to be arraigned Monday, one day before the special election to recall him. Alexander Nguyen, KPBS News.
UC San Diego researchers have shown that some satellite communications are beamed to Earth unencrypted. SciTech reporter Thomas Fudge says the organizations that sent them responded by fixing the problem.
Professors at UCSD set out to study the signals received by a satellite dish on the roof of the computer science building. They thought they'd analyze the methods of encryption, how they turn messages into code that were used in satellite traffic. What they found was much more surprising. Aaron Schulman, a professor of computer science and engineering, said a lot of the messages weren't encrypted at all.
And we realized very quickly we had to change the course of our project. Our scientific goal was to make sure encryption was used well, and now we're like, wait, there was no encryption. So we actually had to go in and analyze that traffic we saw unencrypted and just figure out who this is and report to them so they can get it turned off.
They intercepted phone calls, tax-sensitive corporate communications, and even some unencrypted signals from U.S. Navy ships. Schulman says the good news is when they contacted the senders, the problem was addressed.
Some fixed within 24 hours. Some took a few weeks, but indeed they realized this was very real very quickly, and this is ultra-sensitive traffic.
The campus satellite dish was nothing fancy. You could buy the same one off the shelf for less than $1,000. Thomas Fudge, KPBS News.
The National City Public Library is celebrating its first year of a new kind of borrowing program. South Bay reporter Corey Suzuki says this program doesn't check out books or DVDs. It has power tools.
When you walk through the doors, the National City Public Library is everything you'd expect. The bookshelves, the bulletin boards, the tables of people quietly working or chilling out. But if you head up the stairs, around the corner, and past the water fountain, you'll find something unexpected.
It's very much like a typical office space, but instead of having desks in here and chairs, it's just mostly shelving units full of tools.
Alex New is the systems librarian here. About a year ago, he started the library's first tool lending program, which checks out different kinds of tools to anyone with a library card. And we're not just talking hammers or screwdrivers. This place has some serious hardware.
Some of our more recent additions have been concrete tools. So we have a concrete saw down here, and in this case is a jackhammer.
The program is the first of its kind in San Diego County. It's small but growing and is open to anyone with a National City Library card, which means anyone with a county address. Over the past year, New says they've registered more than 100 patrons and checked out more than 600 items. At first, the program was only open for in-person checkout Monday and Wednesday evenings. But more recently, they've started using an online checkout system.
Everything we have on our website, there's a full catalog of tools. People can reserve them in advance if they wanted to. And then on each tool, we have a tutorial for how to use them as well.
Tool lending programs at public libraries aren't unheard of, but they aren't common by any stretch. In 2021, a study found only 50 of them nationwide. Niu first learned about these programs around a decade ago when he was living in Portland. He needed a lawnmower but didn't have the money to buy one. His neighbor said there was a library just a couple miles down the road.
It was just like an aha moment, like, oh, this is like a new treasure that I just stumbled upon.
Niu dreamed about starting his own program. When he joined the National City Library in 2018, he says it felt like a place that just made sense. One of the poorer cities in the county, and one with a lot of older homes. Niu applied for a state environmental grant and used the money, $30,000, to stock up on more than 200 tools, focusing on electric hardware, gardening supplies, and equipment for cars, bikes, and crafting.
The tillers are favorite.
Yeah.
Allison and Johnny Calderon moved to National City 2 years ago. They come by regularly for gardening equipment like the tiller, which is used to break up the soil before planting.
We found out that there's a lot of gardeners in National City, and some of our neighbors are pretty big gardeners, so they've kind of encouraged us to grow our own food, and Allison's a vegetarian, so it's been like a fun project for both of us.
A couple days later, I stopped by the Calderons to see their garden in person. The southwest corner of their house is crowded with beds of vegetables, blooming with tomatoes and stalks of corn. Johnny bends down and picks up a small pumpkin.
You know, we were able to clear this whole area out because this was all grass as well. And then we were able to like build some of the framing for the garden beds.
Along with the garden, the library's tools have also helped them build what feels like a new home. The newly married couple are recent arrivals to National City. Allison says it's given them a way to become a part of the neighborhood.
We moved away from a lot of our friends and family in Northern California and came down here not knowing a ton of people. So it is really nice to just have a friendly face pop over.
Let me get the door stopped.
Back at the library, Alex Niu says these kinds of experiences are part of their goals for the program. He's seen plenty of first-time homebuyers coming in, but also patrons working on things like folklorico dresses or looking to change their tires. Last year, as Niu was leaving for his lunch break, someone came in and said their car wouldn't start. Niu went straight to the tool library.
And we have a battery pack that we can loan out. I was able to just come out here, grab it, and jump his car for him.
Libraries, Niu says, are much more than just a building full of books. They're always trying to adapt to the needs of the places and people they serve.
This is like one way of us showing to the community that we're here for them, we're there to support them for more than just, you know, checking out media or finding information.
They're still doing that, he says, just in a different way. In National City, Corey Suzuki, KPBS News.
That is it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening and subscribing. By doing so, you're supporting public media, and I really want to thank you for that. Have a great day.
From El Centro to everywhere, we're Voices del Valle.
Voices del Valle?
Voices del Valle is a team-produced podcast about coming of age in California's Imperial Valley.
I love Voices del Valle.
On the next episode of Voices del Valle, we will talk with teens about their cheer and soccer championship seasons. I've got to listen to that. Voices del Valle, fresh voices, bold stories made in the valley.
Voices del Valle, find us on KPBS or wherever you get your podcasts.